and Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 13. Now, first of all, you have the here in Matthew 13, have the parable of the sower. I know how you guys know how this works. So down in verse 8, but other seed fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then in a longer explanation, a little bit deeper in the passage, verse 22, of course, he's describing a couple other types of ground, which is not in the purview tonight, of where the seed fell. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. He becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, if you'll keep your finger there for a little while, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, talking about the millennial kingdom, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, for that matter, that would be a blow to some folks probably, or it might be necessary for that, for Christ, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Let's stop there and pray. Now, Father, we pray your blessing here tonight as we look at some things here. And sometimes we just don't think about the magnitude of things. And because we live life in a mundane form, day after day, hour after hour, month after month, year after year, it's easy for even the holiest things to become kind of mundane and regular. Lord, we should guard carefully against that. I pray that you might give us some insight into that tonight. May we be happy to change our hearts and minds along these lines. And Father, may we, more than anything else, take full advantage of what we have opportunity for in this very brief time that we have it left. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the two passages have a word in common, a thing in common that I'd like to draw out here tonight. Both of those passages have the word hundredfold in common. The parable of the sower, the seed sown on good ground can bring forth as much as 100-fold, he says. Somebody that forsakes all and serves Christ in the millennium may very well receive 100-fold more than he left. Now, 100-fold plainly means 100 times what you had before, right? That represents, by the way, the Bible's largest multiplier. You find 2-fold, 3-fold, 4-fold, 7-fold, 10-fold, 20-fold, 30-fold, and then you find 60-fold, and then it's 100-fold. And 100-fold is the highest multiplier in the Bible, at least along that form. Only shows up 7 times in the book, twice in the Old Testament, and then 5 times in the New Testament, and most all of it's contained, for the most part, within the narratives of these passages that we're talking about. But those two passages involve two very important aspects of the Christian life. The first one in Matthew 23, of course, or Matthew 13, rather, of course, has to do with fruit bearing. It has to do with the Word of God sown. And we can run back and forth in the Bible quite a bit here, but if you, Luke chapter 8 is the sister passage to Matthew 13. And on top of talking about in Matthew 13, 23, a man that receives this in good ground, the good ground of his heart, and understandeth it, that's one part of it. Luke 8:15 says that he received it in a good and honest heart. That's another part of it, and keeps it. That's another part of it, and brings forth fruit with patience. That's all Luke 8:15, if you want to check me out later. That out of that kind of heart, the Lord can bring forth a hundredfold. Now, there's no question as to the application for a Christian there. In Matthew chapter 19, down in verse 29, you have once again the answer that somebody that leaves all these things forsakes those things. In the regeneration, when I sit on the throne of my glory, he says, may well receive a hundredfold. Now, I know that there's a strong phrasing here that places this within Israel's purview, the chapter 28, Son of Man in His glory, these guys sitting on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. That's very Jewish. I understand that. But I read in Paul about treasures laid up in heaven. I read in Paul about an opportunity to reign with Christ in the millennium. I read in Paul, where, or rather in John, of a mansion with my name on the front door, and I've got an inheritance there. I read where the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I read where I have not seen, neither the ear heard. And so I don't have much of a concern about stealing any of the Jews' promises on this when I make the statement that it's possible that whatever it is that you might forsake in this life, you very well may receive a hundredfold and perhaps more in the millennium if you're serving Jesus Christ. So two aspects of it, fruit bearing and serving Jesus Christ and being rewarded for it in the millennium. So I have the Bible's largest multiplier as applied to God's Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, now we have Christ living in us, working through me to bring forth fruit. And I might bring forth 30-fold, I might bring forth 60, perhaps 100-fold. As far as serving the Lord Jesus Christ and depending specifically in verse 29 of what I might forsake, I'm told that I may very well receive 100-fold on the other side. Now, I just want you to concentrate for a little while on this 100-fold thing. And first of all, let's concentrate on the enormous increase it describes. Now, 100 times, that may not sound all that impressive. I'm not a stockbroker. I'm not an investment banker or broker of any sort. I don't know that much about stuff. But I bet it's not very often that you see 100-to-1 return. I've had a little savings account off and on for my whole life. Still have a savings account. My savings account doesn't pay 100-to-1. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know that many. I'm sure that there are rags to riches stories. There are places that it happens, I'm sure. From what I understand, Mr. Trump has done that once or twice. But it's just not all that often that a man has an opportunity on a daily basis to lay up something that may very well return 100-to-1. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an enormous increase. Stop and think about that. You invest $10, you get $1,000 back. Who wouldn't make that investment? You invest $100, you get $10,000 back. You invest $1,000, you get $100,000 back. If you have a home that's worth $100,000, you have a home worth $10 million on the other side. Two cars, 200 cars. A 10-acre farm, it's in a 1,000-acre farm. 50 friends, 5,000 friends. If you plant one sack of corn, you get 100 back. It's kind of interesting because Isaac, I suppose if there's a place that it might happen, although it never happened on our farm, Isaac in Genesis 26:12 got 100-fold back of all that he planted in 1 year. Of course, you have put one seed of corn in the ground and you come out with a stalk that has ears of corn on it. I don't know. I never counted how many grains of corn are on an ear of corn, but I'm sure 200 to 1 or 100 to 1 there is probably reasonable. So I suppose a farmer, of all things, more than anybody else, may very well have a chance to realize those things. But think about the fact with about a man that's a good enough man by men's standards, without the Word of God. He's just a decent, honest, hardworking guy that has character. With the Word of God at work and the Holy Spirit at work, that guy could be 100 times the man with the Word as without the Word, if there's a 100-to-1 return. That's an enormous increase. In worldly terms, nobody passes up those kind of opportunities. A lot of folks get suckered in by those kind of opportunities. There's lots of scandals and schemes and Ponzi's and pyramids and all that stuff that probably claims that they'll get you 100-to-1 return, but very seldom does that ever happen. I don't even know how many opportunities like that really exist. But we're not talking about materialism here. We're talking about you serving Jesus Christ and submitting yourself to the Word of God. You lose nothing by serving Jesus Christ. 100-to-1, 100-fold the enormous increase that it describes. Think, too, secondly, about the power to which it testifies. Like I said, among farmers, such an increase is not unheard of. Like I said, a grain of corn brings forth how many ears with how many grains of corn per ear. That's very possible. But really, where else do you even find that? Maybe somebody in business builds millions and millions of dollars out of nothing, pocket change. You've heard stories like that sort of thing, and that's all fine. But, you know, the farmer that does that is forced to run the risk of hard frosts, short seasons, droughts, floods, insects, bacterial infestations, bad seed, crop failure, his wife divorcing him because he's a poor farmer, and getting all the land. In business, the guy has to face making risky investments, shady deals. The market might collapse. He's got to deal with city ordinances and local laws and lawsuits and employee hassles, and his wife may divorce him and take the business. So those guys face two things. They face circumstances beyond their control, and they face an uncertain future. Well, by the grace of God, there are no circumstances out of our control or out of God's control. He's telling you that if you'll let the Word work, and he's telling you that if you will serve Jesus Christ, and part of that service involves a forsaking of things that you cannot cling to and really serve God, that there is a very real opportunity for a 100-fold increase. And if, first of all, circumstances are never beyond God's control, and secondly, as far as the future is concerned, God's made you promises regarding the future. That's a great power. Think about all the folks you hear about that turn over a new leaf and improve self by raising self-esteem and making small improvements. And maybe they do make small improvements. A superstar athlete, you know, goes into a substance abuse clinic. And are you telling me that he would ever, ever come out provably 100 times the better man than he went in? Well, you never see any proof of that. Here's a goofball movie star, and he takes up Scientology for, you know, his Hollywood religion. And it's supposed to have improved him. Does it stop him from making dirty movies? Probably not. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, these so-called improvements and what they're supposed to do, what kind of power do they really have? You can never really verify somebody making that kind of improvement. There's something that has power to make me 100 times the man that I was without the Word of God. How I was without the Word of God if I was a decent guy. And while I had all my stuff and was clinging to my stuff, my hobbies and my sports and my money and my good looks and my hair, you know, I mean, there's something here that has an opportunity to make me 100 times the better man. Now look, 100% the better man 100 times over. That's 10,000%. What could ever do that? Well, for this cause, thank we God without ceasing, that when you believe the Word of God, when you receive the Word of God, you receive it not as it was, why can't I quote that all of a sudden? Go to 1 Thessalonians. We should just maybe read it so I don't butcher it any further. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I hate that when that happens. 1 Thessalonians 3. I'm butchering a lot of things here. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now that was the word that sower sowed, and says, if that word is received with understanding, brought forth with patience, and received in a good and honest heart, it can bring forth 100-fold. That's what I mean. The Word of God may very well make me 100 times the better man than I ever could have been, even as a good man, without the Word of God and preaching. You say, well, Brother Stevens, what does that mean? That means there's great power to that word. The word that can bring forth fruit like that is of great power. And so the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Now, here I have a retirement plan that guarantees 100% better, 100 times over. All for doing what? In Matthew 19, forsaking certain things. Now, as far as I know, the Lord's never asked any of us to forsake our electricity or, you know, your favorite plate of nachos on Sunday night or some such thing like that. Some people, like Brother Mark and Brother Lonnie and their families, forsaken homes and so on and so forth. You think they're not going to get 100-fold back? You see, you talk about power. If we're talking about the seed sown and bearing fruit, you take in that seed and understanding it and laboring over it, and the Lord says, I'll make you 100 times the better man. And whatever it is that you have to forsake to serve me, give up your stupid booze and give up your partying and quit running up to Hinckley every 3 weeks to see how much money you can throw down the tubes, then including the buffets there. You know, folks, that's a powerful thing. Forsaking even can be a powerful thing. Think about not just the power that it testifies, the increase it describes, but the opportunity that it presents. 100 times the fruit. 100 times the things that you leave. The salesmen say it's an opportunity of a lifetime. And none of those guys can legitimately offer you, in all likelihood, 100-to-1 return. And the Lord offers you 100-to-1 return. It's a sure thing. It's based on promises in Matthew chapter 19. That thing reads as a contract. Look in Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and verse 29, everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. That reads like a contract. It reads like a guarantee. In Matthew 13, yeah, God giveth the increase, but you know, it says a hundredfold, it could be 60-fold, it could be 30-fold. The least is 30-fold. Well, if I hand you a buck and you hand me 30 back, that's a pretty decent deal. It's not as good as I hand you a buck, you give me 100 back, but still, 30-fold isn't bad. It's still a great opportunity. If that opportunity was offered as money, guaranteed, by somebody that can't go bankrupt, why, people, you'd have investors crawling through the windows right now. And yet, if we're not careful, we Christians sit on it and go, well, that's interesting. Well, that's far more than interesting. I would like you to consider the zeal that it inspires, or at least it should. You ever seen the trading floor of the New York stock market? Those guys have no shame. They're just all standing around, running around like chickens with their heads cut off, hollering at the top of their lungs, buying and selling stocks. Amen? It's like the Price is Right went to Wall Street. And my point is, if the Word of God is the key to a hundredfold fruit-bearing, how fanatical should you be over the Word of God? Really? They think we're, the world thinks we're, the Christians think that we are a little bit wacky and way over the top in our love for the Bible and our elevation of it. No, sir. No, sir, not at all. Think of the zeal that should be inspired by something that is so powerful that when you sit down at a desk and labor to understand it and labor to dispense, to get it in a position where you can lay it out and dispense it to somebody else and show somebody something out of it, and you memorize it and you do all that you can to study as best you can so you can preach it as well as possible, that the work that that Word of God does in you and in others can be a hundredfold. Well, you ought to have more zeal for that than anything that you can mention. I don't care who your favorite football team is. You know, I don't care what opportunities are presented elsewhere. Think of the zeal that should be inspired by the possibility of a hundredfold return. And considering, you know, where I live now, and the Lord says I've got a mansion in heaven, I'm not sure that a hundredfold probably isn't on the lower end of things. If God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He does, and if everything is His, don't tell me the Lord's going to be chintzy when it comes to paying you off. But the Bible uses the term hundredfold. And think about forsaking. If forsaking those things is the real center point, the pivot point for the rewards, that would be an answer to why Paul said that he counted all those things that used to matter to him dung. Now, you know what dung is? It's manure. It's manure you find out in the middle of a farmyard somewhere. That's what he counted it. That's what he counted his money, his breeding, his education, his the former lifestyle, all those things that he used to cling to, his degrees. He counted them but dung. And well, they shouldn't be, because you may very well, if you walk away from that stuff, get stuff that's a hundredfold more precious than those things. So consider the zeal that it inspires. Furthermore, consider the valuation that it changes. The valuation that it changes. Now, what's important to folks here in this life, it'll be, if you're not careful, it'll be important to you, is your financial holdings, money, fame, success, security, possessions, popularity, the number of friends that you have on Facebook, self-esteem, happiness, joy, you know, fun type stuff. And those things are modestly important for all of us, probably too important. But again, that's one of those things where you have to work in this world and you have to pay taxes and you have to pay bills, so you have to have money and all that stuff. So the key there is using the world as not abusing it, like Paul says. But those things probably used to be your life. And hopefully they're not your life anymore. And just consider how looking at this way, this hundredfold matter, how that should change what you look at. Look once again in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we'll talk for a moment first about this fruit bearing. He says, the sower sowed the word, and where that word found a certain characteristics, it brought forth 30, 60, and sometimes 100-fold. It could bring forth 100-fold for you. Well, first of all, those components then are the Word of God. Now again, they think we're way over the top with the Word of God. But so far as I know, you and people like you are the only people around that even think that you have the words of the living God in your lap. Nobody that reads a living Bible or an Amplified or an NIV think that they have the words of the living God in their laps. But you believe that as King James Bible believers, or else I've not done a good job. But the Word of God, I mean, that's the issue, the Word of God. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food, said Job. Back in Proverbs, I'll run back there and you don't have to run with me. I'm going to read you Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. These words, the words that sower sowed, they're life. And those words get in you and they work in you. They bring forth something effectual. And what it can result in time is a hundredfold increase. A hundredfold on the other side. I've often stopped and thought, you know, here for me, I mean, these years that I've served the Lord, you know, I've sat at a desk a lot and read over the Bible over and over again and been through, I know how many times I've been through it, and I know roughly how many times I preached through various books of it to you folks and that sort of thing. I've just, you know, it's not all that I've done in life, but it takes up a big portion. You know, it's what I start with in the morning and so on and so forth. And there's no way you could quantify it. You can try to talk about hours. You can try to talk about the times that you've been through, or the times that you've read a verse, or how many verses you've memorized, that sort of thing. So nobody knows how the Lord is going to quantify this hundredfold reward that you could get if you've labored in that word and that word has found certain attributes. But it's the word. And one of the things that he needs to find in Matthew 13:23 is understanding. It says there in that passage that he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Now, I don't know how much time you spend, but I've spent quite a bit trying to understand things that I didn't at first understand, and many things that I still don't fully understand, but I labor to understand them. And I spend time with them because I want to understand. I'm not doing it for the hundredfold. I'm doing it for the Lord. But he said one of the attributes that he looks for is somebody getting understanding so he can reward them up to a hundredfold. Fruit bearing. A hundredfold. I don't know what that looks like in heaven. I don't know what it looks like, but I'd like to get it. And you know what? I'd like to understand as much of the Word of God as I can before I get out of here. Right? I read back in history, and there are an awful lot of Christians that didn't understand much at all, and they probably had more zeal than I do, and they probably did more things, and maybe it cost them more than it's ever costed me. And so I'm left laboring and working in the time frame that the Lord left me, and we're in Laodicea, and we're in the last days, and it's dark times and perilous times, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can at least labor in the Word of God to understand it. I can at least labor in the Word of God to try to bring it to heart and do something with it. In Luke chapter 8, if you will go there now, Luke chapter 8, I mentioned these briefly in passing earlier, but this one aspect of the sower sowing and the word is sown, and there's a certain kind of heart with certain kind of attributes that the Lord looks for, and what could come of it is a hundredfold. If it's dollars and $1,000 has been put into it, then there's 100 times $1,000 that comes out of it. $1 gets you $100. That's quite an increase. It's quite an increase. Now, in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And I'm sorry, I'm not even there yet. But verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Now, you need to stop there and think about that. A good and an honest heart. Understanding. But a good, honest heart. A heart that's willing to be corrected. A heart that wants the truth more than you want to be right. And it's not about winning an argument. It's not about just winding up right. But it's about a good and honest heart desiring the truth. Ever met brethren that fight? And it's not really even more anymore about the issue. It's just about they just each want to win the fight. Just each want to win the argument. I'm not interested in that. I really do want the truth. You know, if the Lutherans are right and they can convince me, I'll go there. If the Lutherans are right about infant baptism and all those things, and they can prove it, I'll change. I really will. But a lot of folks don't have a good and honest heart, and they really don't want the truth that much. And so the word is sown, but they see the word as something just to figure out how to work to their advantage. I want the truth. Do you? Look at something else in Luke chapter 8 there. There's one other thing I'd have you point out. It says there, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. So keep it. But also and bring forth fruit with patience. Now look at those things. The word of God, a good honest heart, patience, understanding. The Lord sows the word, and you do something along those lines. And according to what I'm reading there, that's fruit. Now, how would you quantify that fruit? How do you measure patience? Well, you don't measure patience. God does, right? How do you grade a heart on whether it's a good and honest heart? And whether it really understands what it's supposed to understand, how do you grade it? Well, you don't grade it. God grades it. And according to this, the fruit that's born, that comes out of the Word of God being sown, and somebody laboring to in patience to understand in a good and honest heart, what can come out of it is 100-fold what was put into it. Now, I don't know exactly what that looks like. On the other side, I really don't. But I'd like to have a part of it. I'd like to at least close this out. If I can't win 10,000 souls, and so far that hasn't happened, If I can't win 10,000 souls, I'd like to at least be a steady and constant and dependable laborer in the Word of God. You know? Along those lines, you look at Matthew 19. He said, okay. He said, you guys, that anybody and everybody that's left houses, lands, mother, father, and in some cases a wife, to serve me, if you've forsaken them, you'll receive a hundredfold. You'll receive a hundredfold back. That makes forsaking the issue at hand for that. Forsaking. Now, again, there's lots of things that it's tough to forsake entirely. You can't forsake body soap. You can't forsake a job and a reasonable career and a reasonable education, or else, you know, you're going to wind up sleeping under the railroad threshold, whatever that is. Yeah, overpass. But, I mean, to be able to walk away, though, from the opinions, the good opinion of your family. I'm talking about your relations that are not saved, that are disinterested and want to control your life to keep you from being a Bible thumper. To forsake some of those things, concern about what the world thinks, concern about whether you're in proper fashion, the way you dress and what you do and the car that you drive and the things that you do in your fun times. Who cares what they think? But I mean, to turn and to change your life over, to not have the slightest desire to go the places that you used to go, to forsake the sin, to forsake the gambling establishments and the stuff where folks might look at you going in those places and go, so he's a Christian, you know, like that. And to think that just forsaking those things could get me back a hundredfold. And as far as I can see, God doesn't give out junk. So the hundredfold may be better than anything that you ever had singularly ever before. But the valuation that it changes, how about further? How about the faith that it requires? None of this makes sense to the natural man. Why would you give up a good time as a natural man? They don't understand why you would forsake the partying. They don't understand why you wouldn't go all out, you know, foot to the floor on the whole Christmas thing, even though Santa Claus is a lie and all that kind of stuff. Halloween, that sort of thing. But the Bible says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. How much money, if you were to walk up to somebody in the world and say, okay, here's what I got. Here's what I got. I've got a book, and I've got a patient. I got patience. I've got understanding of the Word of God. And there's one other thing. I have an honest heart. What do you give me for it? I said, I'll give you a punch in the nose. Because they ain't interested in it. But according to what we've been reading and studying here, those things are what delivers everything to you. A hundredfold more than you could ever imagine here. But the faith that it requires, you have to value it through God's eyes alone. You can't take any of this to a jeweler or a pawnbroker and say, well, what do you give me for this? How much do you think of this good heart of mine, this understanding heart of mine? What do you give me for the patience that I've developed through the times that I've tried to walk with the Lord and the things that I've been through in my temptations and trials and stuff? What do you give me? He said, I'll give you a free trip out the door, because he ain't going to give you nothing, because those things only matter to God. They only matter to God. And so what you have to do is walk in the light of the fact that God cherishes those things and the world cares virtually nothing for them. And so you're going to have to wait There is very little instant gratification in these things. Laboring in the Word of God does not deliver an awful lot of instant gratification. Occasionally, you get an answer to a specific question that you had, and it's satisfying. But for the things that we're talking about tonight, there is no way you're going to know how rich it is until you get to the other side. I have one phrase written down here: there are no blooms on this side of the fence. And you've been cultivating this plant, and you're told that when it blooms, it's going to bloom with unspeakable beauty. But it doesn't bloom on this side of the fence. You have to wait till you get to the other side of the fence to see its blooms. 100-fold is a lot. I could get rich handing you dollar bills as long as it was understood that you would hand me back 100 of them. If I had enough people, I could do well quickly. You know? And that's what the Lord offers you. And if you think those things are not powerful, I mean, think about those things: the Word of God, understanding, a good, honest heart, patience, and forsaking. Those things collectively can deliver you 100-fold. 100-fold. Out of this life I shall never take, things of silver and gold I make. All that I cherish and hoard away after I leave on earth must stay. Though I have toiled for a painting rare to hang on my wall, I must leave it there. Though I call it mine and boast its worth, I must give it up when I quit the earth. All that I gather and all that I keep, I must leave behind when I fall asleep. And I wonder often what I shall own in that other life when I pass alone. What shall they find and what shall they see in the soul that answers the call for me? Will the great judge learn when my task is through that the Spirit had gathered some riches to? Or shall it be mine to find that all that I'd worked for, I'd left behind? In the end, that's what it all boils down to, is what you've done with the Word of God, right? And we like to try to quantify stuff. And, okay, I won this guy to Christ and this person, 6 months ago, and so I've got this many to my charge, and so I got that many crowns. And it's not that simple. Because these things we're talking about here is talking about the Lord's rewards to you in the millennium for what you've forsaken. And it's not that easy to keep a tally of things that you've forsaken in your heart and mind, But think about the fact that the Lord has promised, basically contracted, to give 100-fold. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Lord, we